No,
it's
I don't think so.
It's actually really sweet.
Ooh. I like it.
It's got a medicinal flavor.
It's mostly honey.
That's what I really pick up on, is a lot of honey.
No, I do not like it.
Just a tiny hint.
Tastes like cigar smoke.
Michigoni and Degree. All the best podcasts are free. Simon Ginger and Witty. Playing games and drinking tea. Call a pound stone, never lie. The best podcast for its size. So hang out with your new best friend. With a friend for Pidgeon.
Hello, welcome to Grand Rapidians Play Video Games,
where some world record holders get together, drink a beverage, listen to loud cars go by, and some real life XP, a video game, and recommend something.
Yeah.
I'm Ginger.
My name is Willie, and instead of a crazy intro, I found a book that I had in, like, 1995 that I wrote quotes stuff down in. So I'm going to read a quote that I wrote down. I wrote them out of order, so this could have been, like, any time from 95 to 98. But apparently I said, "I know you're dead. I can see your butt."
That kind of is funny you bring that up with the whole channel that has dead people falling out of coffins we heard about. And their asses are, like, right there.
That fake it's TV fake. Show that's a comedy yeah. sketch. Yeah. All
right. Yeah.
But we have a special guest today. Evan, welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for inviting me to come hang out with you.
Hell yes. Thanks for coming and joining us.
So we know you from your podcast, This Planet Needs a Name, which you created.
Yes, it's my baby, my brainchild. I have a co-creator on it, my friend Trace Callahan, who does all things sound. I do all things writing and directing. So I just lucked out that when I decided I wanted to start a podcast, that it was an audio drama, I had this old friend I'd known for more than 20 years who was a composer who had moved into doing video game music, and I realized that's a short move from that to composing for audio drama. So I said, "Trace, do you want to make a baby with me that is a podcast?" And we're off and running. That was a year and a half ago now. We are slowly getting through the last episode of our first season right now.
Well, it's awesome. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful baby.
And I have...
We love it.
You have another one that we haven't checked out yet, but it's a sitcom podcast?
Lightheart. I do a lot of, if people want to follow me, my name is Evan Tess Murray. If they want to find my work, they can find me in a variety of places in indie audio drama. Lightheart's is another one I co-created with two good friends, where it's a queer haunted bar. It is deliberately lighthearted. It's high ghostly hijinks and a new guest star every episode, and... no matter what else happens, everything will be resolved by the end of every episode, and you will feel like you have been hugged.
That's
the entire goal of Lightheart.
This. If it's like feeling like a hug, fuck yes. I love that.
It is. Yeah. It's myself and Caroline Minx, who is my creative partner on basically everything we do. We work together. And Tal Minear, who is an amazing producer. Nice. And everything else in audio drama. Tal is also the mind behind Someone Dies in This Elevator, which is an anthology that's releasing right now that I'm in. So once we start doing this stuff, everybody...
And it's amazing. I love audio dramas. They're fucking amazing. Like, all these weird, quirky ones. Yes, please.
Yeah, you get to break the rules. Someone Dies in This Elevator is, it's called a spoiler-driven anthology. Every episode is written by someone different, but the one thing that is true in all of them is that someone dies in an elevator.
It's like that movie John Dies at the End.
Yeah, that I think it's kind of the idea. I think Tal was in a hotel that theoretically has a haunted elevator where they came up with the idea. So, but yeah.
I'm going to start with my beer first, because I'm supposed to drink it at 52 degrees, and it's a little bit under that, so...
Fancy.
Yeah, we we bought too much beer when we were in Texas, and so now we're finally getting to the last of our alcohol, I think.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was a weird pop.
That was a fail. The sandal bottle opener was not the correct one to use. It's a barrel-aged Legion from Community Beer Company. It's a Russian Imperial Stout from Texas.
Oh, barrel-aged.
It's like, it looks super fancy with like gold foil, and it says you can look up the bottle codes to see like which specific barrels it was aged in.
Well, la-di-da. Fancy.
I mean, I admit I like my alcohol fancy. It's nice.
Yeah, I'll have to pass on this. We didn't check if it's okay for me.
It does not list the ingredients.
And that's lame. At least, like, you don't have to give all the secrets. Just put your fucking mash bill on there.
It's very smooth. It's got some carbonation for a barrel-aged Russian stout. It's creamy, chocolatey, a little bit of coffee. Yeah, this is a really good stout. This was also from Beer Geeks.
Nice. They're popping up again.
Yeah, my last one. 11.6% alcohol, but it tastes smooth. It kind of reminds me of like a iced coffee or a carbonated coffee beverage.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
I'll give it 4.25 out of 5.
All right.
No, 4.5 out of 5. It's a good stout.
I have something a little different here. It's sake. It's a Johto 1-cup sake I got down in Texas.
The Asian market around the corner from my house has that, and I almost bought some the other day. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. I'm going to have to check around us, because if this is good, we'll see. It claims to have bursting with hints of green grape and juicy watermelon, but it has like a little plastic top and then a foil. So
yeah, so this,
whoa,
so weird. This sake is in a paper cup with a foil over the top, and then there's a plastic cover over the foil.
Whoa, that definitely is grapey. Kind of like wine. Like, and it's a weird inside of this cup.
Would have to be, because it's actually from Japan and shipped all the way here in a paper cup.
Look at it.
Ooh, it's shiny and plastic.
Yeah, it's like shiny in the inside.
It's like
inside.
Golden.
Uh-huh. It's pretty good for sake. I would probably buy this again.
It's light and smooth. I'm not a huge fan of sake, but
it's very, I'm going to give this a 4.5 out of 5, because it's really smooth, and usually I don't buy sake because it's just too strong, but this, this is like a sake juice drink.
I'll give it 1.5 out of 5. If it was the only thing I had, or I bought one and opened it, I might be able to drink one.
Oh.
Yeah, ouch. Will's not a liquor drinker, though.
No,
so.
Nor wine.
Nope, this is not for him.
Gotcha. Well, what I brought today to drink was actually, I've pre-mixed it, but I made myself an old-fashioned, which is pretty much my drink of choice. And I have a new, it's not new, a new-to-me whiskey that I would try it out, which is not a fancy whiskey, but it is Jameson's newish, aged in IPA barrels. Mm. So it's definitely pretty nice, and I liked it. This just has a spherical ice cube, an ice sphere in it, because I am that person now. I didn't intend to become that person, but it happened. And a twist of a lemon rather than orange, because I'm out of oranges, and then a sprig of rosemary, as well as a bit of simple syrup. I am a whiskey or scotch drinker. I normally don't do anything fancy with it, but I've been playing around with this whole, like, maybe if I dress it up a little bit, it'll feel special thing. But I have not yet had my sip of this one with the rosemary in it, because I saved it for now. Yeah. No, I like that. So my favorite thing about the whiskey with the IPA barrels is it picks up a little bit of that aromatic,
right?
Like hoppiness. It doesn't taste like it, but it definitely has a little more herbaceous kind of stuff going on. And I feel like the rosemary sprig is kind of highlighting that and bringing it out. And my favorite drinks are anything you could categorize as savory, which are frankly hard to find.
Unless you make them yourself.
I don't like sweet alcohol. I don't like bitter alcohol. And there's not a lot in the middle other than right. that. So I am pretty happy to have found this.
What are you rating your old fashioned? It sounds amazing. I love whiskey as well.
You know, I think I'll give it like a 4.5 out of 5. I'm pretty pleased with myself right now.
Hell yes. I actually have, I love whiskey sours and I make my own. And I cut down on the sugar and put more lemon in it, so it's really tart. But I had a, what was it, a maple, like, sour at this place. And they had, like, a maple simple syrup with a sprig of rosemary in it. It was really fucking good.
I might try that. I am, we didn't mention this, I'm in Maine, which is one of the places where maple syrup comes from.
Yum.
So I always have some.
Nice.
Well, I'll give that a shot sometime.
Well, cheers. Mm.
Cheers.
Cheers. Let's get some good ice clinking.
I need the circle ones. I have the square, like the big chonker square ices, but I do want the circular ones eventually.
I got them quite by accident, but have been delighted.
Nice. So.
I want to get ones shaped like Spider-Man's head.
I mean,
it's close enough. That's can we
very
compromise, Ginger?
Specific.
That would be pretty cool, honestly.
Why Spider-Man?
I don't know. He's my favorite comic book hero.
Fair enough.
Spider-Man out of everything.
I have a soft spot for Miles Morales. My son cosplays him and looks exactly like him.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, we'll be right back after these messages.
All right, now it's time for Real Life XP.
TMCR LLC.
GRPVG.
Good one, Will.
I didn't come up with something new. You like the same old, same old.
Boring. So, what, you want me to go first?
No, I'll go first. I want to set a new baseline. I haven't done much since we last recorded. I went through a week. I got up and went to work. I kept up on housework and cooked food and cleaned up after it. And I think that's worth 1,000 points just for getting through a week.
Yeah. I mean, a week is 7 days. So, do you want to bump that up?
No.
No?
Yep. Just 1,000 just for doing nothing except what you gotta do for a week.
Being an adult?
Yes.
I mean, I think you should get more points, but if you don't want any more.
Frankly, I didn't manage all of that this week. Right before we recorded, I was trying to catch up on dishes, you know?
It's okay.
I did that about an hour ago.
Yep, I'm kind of doing laundry in between this and...
So, yeah, what, 1,000 points? Or are you going to give me more?
I would say 7,000, 1,000 a day.
Holy shit. All right.
Ooh.
That's what point inflation is up to. That's what point inflation is up to.
So, shall I go first or second? I didn't... You went first.
Sure, you go second.
So... A few weeks back, I applied to a college, and I reached out to a couple colleges because I want to go back. I know that stupid piece of paper is holding me back. I got accepted to GVSU here in Michigan for the engineering program, so I'm really fucking stoked. And
oh my God, that's awesome!
I'm gonna go back to school. I'm gonna get that student discount. Yeah.
You'll pay for that discount.
So I'm really excited and stoked and for actually finally deciding to go back and get a fucking degree. It's gonna be rough, I know it is, but I'm gonna fucking do it. I'll say 5,000 points because I've been really putting it off like a lazy adult, so I have really adulted.
Wait, did I just got 7,000 for barely doing anything for a week?
Well, I haven't started, so once I actually start, it's going to be a lot more points.
Well, you've got your acceptance letter to GVSU.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's say 50,000 points.
I'll take
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Okay. I feel like even just like the application process is so hard because it's so much going into it and so many hopes, so many fears, and you have to get through all that to even just apply.
Yes.
So,
cheers. Yeah. Again, I'll change to that.
I was thinking about what I have done in the last little bit that I am particularly proud of. And the big one is that a little more than a week ago or so, this fairly nasty article came out from a trans man who was saying some kind of awful things, and within our community it kind of shook things up, and I decided to write a response, and I wrote an open letter and invited people to sign it, and it got over 1,000 signatures.
Fuck yes!
And said some really they were the best words I could find to try to express support, in this case, support for transgender women who did not deserve to be attacked.
It needs to stop.
our sisters. And yes, it was very much, one man said he was speaking for all of us. I said, no, you're not.
You can't.
And then I said, neither am I, but I am speaking for everyone who signs this letter. And over 1,000 people signed it. It felt really good. It was also really scary trying to come up with the right words to say and trust that I could say the right thing. It wouldn't be perfect, and I knew that. And I knew I would draw some attention, and some of that might be unpleasant, and I still did it because I thought it was important. So I'm really proud of that. I have no idea how many points it's worth. It was definitely, I'm used to being in the public eye, but it was definitely the first time I've been that deliberate about something along those lines.
Well,
so. And fairly delightfully, somebody I haven't talked to in, like, 4 years found it online, not via me, got to the bottom of it, signed it, and then realized I wrote it. And sent me this massive, excited text.
That's
it was just like, oh,
awesome.
My God, Evan.
Well, the queer community and the trans community needs all the help they can get. They get attacked so many ways. It's fucking ridiculous. So you better have a lot, because that's fucking awesome. Is this letter still available to sign?
Yeah, it's still up. It's just called Trans Men Speak, and I asked for people who are trans men or trans masculine who agree with it to sign it. So that 1,000 people feels particularly good when that's relatively
so awesome.
Small chunk of the population. But I think a lot of us really didn't want someone else speaking for us and saying hateful things. So, yeah, it is still up. It's very findable. basically, if you find me. Like I said at the beginning, I'm Evan Tess Murray. I'm the only person with those names. If you Google me, I am the only hit. That's me. I am the most easily findable person on the internet. But yeah, it's still up. I'm proud of it. And when I was thinking about what have I done to level up, I was like, no, that was actually big and hard and scary, and I'm proud. So,
I don't know.
Give myself some thousands of
points. This is your humble brag.
I just checked. It's got 1,045 signatures.
1,000 for every signature. That's what? 1,000,000? That's 1,000,000.
Yeah. Over 1,000,000.
Oh. Sure. I'll take 1,000,000.
Hell yes.
1,000,000 points. That sounds great. So I just really leveled up then. I'm going to have to spend some time figuring out my new skills.
You get a couple days to fill those sheets out. That's a lot of levels.
Oh, that's so awesome.
But I like very specifically leveled up in trans, I guess, right?
Hell yes. So. However, I mean, shit, that's so awesome though. I'm so happy that you wrote that letter.
Thank you.
For the community.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Ginger.
That's so awesome.
I forgot to press any buttons on our soundboard.
That's okay. Now you
but
should
now
press,
I'll start.
Now you should press it after Evan's level up.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. I didn't know there was supposed to be sound effects.
Yep, sometimes we well forget pleased. Them.
That's okay. That's awesome.
So we'll be right back with some video games.
Yeah.
Hey, Will.
Yo.
What game you play?
I played a thrift store find, a Nintendo Wii game, a game show game called Deal or No Deal.
So weird.
Yeah. So the premise of the game show is the contestants pick one briefcase.
Oh my god.
A certain amount of money in it. And then they pick some of the leftover briefcases and it shows the amounts left and they get knocked off a list. And there's a mysterious banker who offers to buy the briefcase from you.
Yep.
For less than the most amount, but more than the least amount.
Yep.
And the players, or the contestants on the game show, have to decide whether or not to keep it.
Right. It's so cheesy in video game form.
In theory, it's a decent game show idea. I think this is based on the Howie Mandel game show, which I think is a reboot. I think it was a game show back in, like, the 70s.
Nice. Yeah.
It was. I watched and reruns of
it. I remember
the
Howie Mandel when it came
for
out.
For sure. I remember.
It was, like,
I
the same time show. Of, like, How to Be a Millionaire and Are You Dumber Than a Fifth Grader? And, like, game shows were big, but this one was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Because Howie Mandel came out and shaved his head, and there were, like, rumors about, like, stuff he did, you know, backstage. But then they would have a woman out by each briefcase also, all dressed identical, all with identical body types. And the show just seemed kind of like a creepy game show, like, Miss America pageant to me. I never really watched it back in the day.
How much do you want to bet motherfucking Orange Bastard was behind the scenes of this game show in real life? If it was in New York, bet that fucker was back there.
Oh. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yuck. Oh, yeah. That makes me want to look it up. But
that's a horror. We don't have thought.
And so Howie Mandel, you can play as Mies. Howie Mandel is kind of me-shaped, but he's more detailed. His head is giant. He's me-shaped.
It's so funny. But he has that, like, little soul patch and a bald head. He looks like a bobblehead of himself.
And I think most of the content on this disc is just, like, 150 different ways of
Howie Mandel saying, open that case.
Oh my god.
And the ladies are like,
they have like super big Bratz eyes.
Yeah.
Like BRTZ eyes.
Like adult Bratz dolls. Uh-huh. They all have names. Uh-huh. But we played it twice with our
Den Simon.
Yep. Yeah. And mystery guest and I were dragging on this game. We kept saying, no, we're not going to take the money.
So when you play, we played four player, and you can play with three people as players, and one person gets to be the banker.
Yep.
But it suggests what the banker would do, like, by some automatic mathematical calculation, and you can only adjust it a little bit up and down.
Yeah, that's kind of lame.
No. I couldn't offer him, like, $750,000.
So you're not allowed to break the game when you're the banker.
All that high stuff was gone.
That's some real rich people shit right there. Like, this money. Fucking rich assholes.
I don't get how the score for the banker works. Like, the banker wins some money that the other people don't get. I don't know. It's kind of a dumb game show, so I didn't research it.
It is.
Especially the reboot. I wouldn't mind watching at least one episode of the old one to compare it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I could swear I watched this as a kid, but then I tried to, like, think about it. I cannot remember it, so who knows? It just sounds like one of those kind of creepy 60s game shows, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, look at these women that are all skinny and in dresses and their titties out. It's just like, come on.
That was the new version. Who knows what the old, if there was an old one, if it was like that. Maybe it was just one girl like Vanna White walked around and opened all the briefcases. That would make more sense to me than having 50 women out there, each with one briefcase. It just seems impractical.
It also seems like just a weird game when it's really just the same. It's the same single concept over and over.
I mean, you're providing more jobs with the 50 ladies up there.
True.
But...
fair.
But it's just, yeah, it's weird. It's very, like, boomer-esque. Like, boomers love this shit. They love Howie Mandel. I mean, I used to like him, but, yeah, when him being a creep came out, I was like, okay. Why am I not surprised?
And then when we were playing with the Mies, like, we picked ourselves, but mystery guest picked Jesus. And there was one time, so she was playing as Jesus, and there was an awesome time where she opened, like, the $1 briefcase and got super happy, and Jesus started doing, like, air thrusts.
Pelvic thrusts
and humping the air.
Oh, no.
As, like, his celebration animation.
We made so many Mies. When the Wii came out, we, like, looked up ones that we could make and just, like, tried to randomize it.
Do you remember who Simon played as?
I think he was Walter from The Big Lebowski.
Oh, yep.
Because we made Walter. Over the line. Oh, shit. So there's no bathrooms in this, but you could technically piss in one of those briefcases.
Yeah.
You could. Like, could you imagine? Let me pick number case 13. And you open it and there's piss.
Just splashes out, like, that hallway and,
The Shining.
A new type of piss jug. Yeah.
The briefcase.
Evan's like, oh god, I've never come down here again.
There's, you know there's nothing behind the podiums.
Mostly slightly confused. Oh, that's yeah, all.
Piss jugs.
You know there's nothing behind the podiums because they're all clear acrylic, so you can see everything underneath and behind the podiums.
Yes.
So.
Well, there's no pots or anything like Zelda.
Many other video games, it could be any container.
It could be a jug to hold liquid in. Yeah. But yeah, Trailer Park Boys is to blame for my piss jugs. Because it's so stupid and funny. I love that show.
Yeah. And Travis Strikes Back is to blame for having it on the show. Because I started asking about the bathroom in every game. After a game where you shit to save.
I mean, I get it now. That does make sense. I was like, I bet there's a history here that I've listened to a few bits of things now, but I definitely missed this. Gotcha.
I love bringing it up because Trailer Park Boys is so silly.
All right, so that's my game, Deal or No Deal. It's kind of a dumb Wii video game, but you can play four people and laugh at it if you can pick it up for $3 like I did.
Don't pay any more money for this game. That's my recommendation.
Fair. Reasonable.
Hey, Evan, what game you play?
So, I have this game that I got out of a Humble Bundle in, like, 2010 or 2011 that... I keep, and it was on Linux at that point, and I just keep coming back to it. I don't really know why, but I really, really, really love it. It's called Aquaria. It's by BitBlot. I don't know if they've ever done anything else. It's a little indie game. It's a PC game, but I think it's got releases on, it's on Steam, and it's got releases in other places now, but it's at this point, it's well over a decade old, and it's like It's a 2D side-scroller where you swim around underwater as the character who is, like, trying to figure out... She's lost her memories and is trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And that's basically the whole game. The interface is that she sings songs to, like, change forms. And you collect items that show up in your little, like, home underwater. It's mostly just that the music is beautiful. It's simple graphically, but beautifully done. The voiceover is lovely. The story as it unfolds is nice. The gameplay is easy overall, like, which is nice because I don't really like games where I have to.
Yeah.
I want to like see the game unfold and be a little bit challenged, but I don't want to have to fight it. So that works well for me. And it's mostly a puzzle game, so there's just a ton of like exploring this rather massive amount of world and trying to figure out what you need to do next.
As a mermaid?
More or less. You're like, okay. It's a person but with gills. So yes,
water world.
More too. Or less.
Or what is that one movie where the girl fucks the fish man?
Atlantis? No, Shape of Water.
Oh,
Shape
yeah.
of Water. I've never watched it. I just like
Shape
talking
of
about
Water.
How it's... she fucked a fish.
I haven't either. This is definitely, you are a underwater person being, so not nice. not actually human. Oops. And you explore a lot of like ruins. Correct. Now you explore a lot of ruins and things. So there's like a sense of world and history and lots of alien writing all over. There's a lot of kind of things like that that you can kind of dig into. And only one piece of the game is like a jumping puzzle. I hate jumping puzzles. The vast majority of the game is mostly like trying to figure out, do any of the tools you currently have help you get a little bit farther? Can you move a thing? Can you, and like you sing songs to make things happen, and that's kind of fun. I don't know. Somehow it just, I come back to it over and over again because it's really pretty. And in a world of like beautiful 3D immersive games, this thing is literally a 2D side-scrolling game.
Is it pixel art style or cartoon?
No, it's drawn. Okay. I'd say nice. Cartoonish. Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, lots of puzzles and problem solving, and honestly, a fair chunk of the time, I just like swim around and hang out with fish. I sound really boring right now. My life has plenty of stress in it, and I like the things I do for downtime to be as
That's
chill as possible.
Fair. So. No, like, some people like challenging games, and some people like chill games, and I like both, and I'll go back and forth. But
whatever game it is, I'll usually play it on easy.
Yeah. And I like things that are not particularly competitive. I don't have a competitive streak to speak of. So I often like things that...
He would like Gris. Isn't that game you played? Kind of puzzly art style, beautiful, chill.
Gris.
Or Gris.
It's Gris if it's French. Yeah, I also like games like Tacoma. They're called walking simulations, but it's just interactive stories a lot.
Yep.
So I guess it's not surprising that I also like this. But I seriously have owned this thing for 10 years. And every year or so, I kind of go, oh, you know what I kind of like? I wonder if I've forgotten enough of the game to make it fun again, because I have to forget how to solve the puzzles in order to replay it.
Yeah. When you can take a... How does you do this again? And push the stuff around a little bit. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're in a giant fish pit.
Yeah, I was about to say, as soon as you started talking about the pissing, I was like, yeah, it's not a problem, really.
You were swimming in a piss jug.
The whole thing with be the ocean is the fish just, they do pee in it. So, you know, you're also just going to piss in the ocean.
Uh-huh.
It's not very exciting, though. She has a home, and it has several rooms in it, and none of those rooms are bathrooms.
That is just more of, you're just swimming around in your toilet, but you're okay with it, which is fucking amazing.
Love it.
This game sounds like fun, though. Like, I could definitely play it. Another really chill game that reminds me of, well, the ending levels were hard. Flower for PlayStation. You literally press a button on the controller, and you just move it, and you're a petal, a flower petal that picks up.
You don't even have to press a button. You just move the controller to control the wind. But what's the name of the game you're talking about?
Mine was Aquaria.
Aquaria.
It's also got gorgeous original music. They just like pulled out all the stops on this weird little indie game. Is mostly what happened. It's real pretty.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was mine.
I love it. That sounds like fun.
So, what are you playing?
My turn. So I played an interesting puzzle game called The Gardens in Between, and it's on Xbox Game Pass, and you're a couple, I forget their name, because it really doesn't matter. You're just two best friends.
Nameless protagonist.
They have names, but I'm gonna fuck them up, and I'm gonna have to look them up.
I know their names. They're Saddam Hussein and Saddam Hussein's best friend.
No. Oh. That's Robert Evanson's cat.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, so this is a puzzle game that you kind of control time to play. It's only a couple buttons you use. Forward or backward, and then A to interact with whatever character you're as. So one of the characters has like this lantern, it almost looks like an outline of a lantern, and the other one doesn't have anything. So the lantern you pick up light with, and that's what you have to beat the end of the levels with. But then the other person interacts with certain things in the level to either open up the flowers with the light or make, like, in another level, bones into the path and stuff. It's really weird. It's a puzzle game.
To help you picture this game, there's, like, a small island that's, like, maybe 100 feet across. Yes. Approximately, with a tower. And there's, like, giant retro items like tape deck or VCR answering machine.
In other levels, it depends.
And you walk around in a circle to ascend, pretty much, and you have to interact with these gigantic out-of-place items in a certain way in order to get to the end.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So that's where the puzzle comes in, but you have to walk back and forth.
And when you walk backwards, time goes backwards?
Yes.
And when you walk forwards, time goes forwards?
Yes. So it's interesting. And it's a cartoon illustration.
It's like a cartoonish looking 3D model. Because you go around, it's fully 3D rendered.
Yep. It's a weird puzzle game. And it's kind of getting really hard because I'm stuck. But yeah, you're usually on this weird, like, spiraling island, which there's water all around you. I haven't seen a toilet yet, but there is water. So
you were swimming in a piss jug.
It's sounds
like, what kind of objects did you see? Was there like a Slurpee cup or something?
Yeah, there was a Slurpee cup, a printer, like an old printer with the like little, like holes on each side of the paper.
I guess if it had one of those big giant ink cartridges in it and it was empty, you could use that as a piss jug.
Probably. I mean, if it's a container, you can pretty much piss in it. As I look at this paper cup of sake.
GRPVG life lessons. If it's a container, you can piss in it.
Oh my goodness. I also have seen like a calculator, just really random objects, but it goes to like then a memory of these two friends like in a treehouse pulling something up. So the levels are kind of hints to the memory you're going to get with these friends. So
inside their mind, unlocking your memories.
Yeah. In these weird puzzles. But it's a beautiful game. It is kind of tough, or I'm just an idiot. I don't know. One or the other.
Yeah, just look up some walkthroughs. You'll get through it. No problem.
I had to on one. And
well,
then
keep doing it. Keep it up.
I was trying to, like, do it on this last one that I got stuck on, and even the walkthrough fucked me up. I don't know.
Oh, no. It sounds like a not horror version of like Oxenfree, which is another of those.
Okay.
It's a wander around puzzle game where you don't fully control the characters. You do make a lot of decisions and they talk and they do stuff and you have to solve a lot of puzzles. That one's definitely in the horror genre, but you unlock a lot of, like, past stuff or memories or weird shit that happens as you go. And it's pretty unpredictable and interesting and, yeah,
nice.
Puzzly. But in a, like, immersive way. Like, I'm in this space trying to figure out what to do next. I'm not always aware I'm solving a puzzle. Sometimes it's just like, what happens if I poke this kind of thing. So that sounds like it might be a little bit similar in terms of gameplay, just like not scaring you as much.
Yeah, which sounds nice. It's not scary at all so far, at least. I mean, I'm in kind of a darker level now, like at nighttime. And I don't know, that's the scariest it's got, which isn't at all for me. But it's just a little frustrating how hard these are getting. But once I beat it, I'll probably be like, well, duh. Of course that's how you beat this level.
That's what you said when you looked that one up.
Oh my god. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. Right. The Gardens Between is interesting. And when you play it, then the name makes a little more sense. Because you gotta, like, do stuff in between the moments of moving forward and backwards.
Oh, okay. So it's like, gotcha, Gardens Between Time.
Yeah.
Kind of concept.
It's interesting. And if you have Game Pass, it's on Game Pass right now. Yeah, when I looked it up, it said 2 to 3 hours to beat. I was like, bullshit. How smart are y'all? Or did you do a walkthrough?
It sounds like my kind of thing, though. I think I'll love it.
It's pretty chill. With the puzzle aspect, you might get a little flustered, but, like, nothing like Dark Souls. Fuck that cave. So hard.
Should I do a quick, here's some shit that we know we missed about some Atomicrap stuff?
Sure, since you've played more.
Okay. Here's some shit that we know we missed.
Here's some shit that we know we missed.
Here's some shit that we know we missed.
So, you missed some shit, Will?
Yeah, I missed some shit in Atomicrops.
Well, you've been nonstop playing it.
I made it further and further. Yep, you can, when you get enough roses, which you use to flirt with people, flirt with them enough, you get a wedding ring, and you marry them, and you have a little quick wedding right there next to where you've been flirting with them the whole time. The characters like, go from stranger to a dating to married. And then once you're married, they move out to your farm, and they're another character walking around, like, digging up the soil.
So they're helping you.
Yeah, helping you. Defending from the slugs coming to eat your crops.
This is a very, very cartoony shoot 'em up game that it's like a dual stick top down shooter where you have to take care of crops and like it's been cool watching him play it.
And normally every time you buy a gun it breaks after one day. But I had a gun survive after defeating a boss and the upgrade stayed on it. So sometimes your upgrades will stay for multiple days.
Nice.
If you get really lucky.
Ooh.
All right, that's it. Now it's time for recommendations.
Doop, doop.
Ginger, I'll go first today. Yay. I got a recommendation. I recommend Rapture 518. It's a great independent Canadian audio drama. Is while this woman moves into a new high-tech apartment condominium during a pandemic that turns into like a zombie apocalypse, sort of. Really? But not quite. It's more like a rage virus where like people just become killers.
Fuck that kind of virus.
Yeah.
Because like it's just creepy the way they explain this virus. I'm like, no, we do not need any of that. Like the way people look normal and then you can tell like,
oh, they didn't look normal.
Well, you could tell the way like out of the corner of your eye.
Yeah,
they'll look normal but then they won't. It's just fucking scary.
And they just finished their first season, and that's a really good podcast.
Yeah.
If you're into audio dramas that can be kind of scary.
Yep. That's a good one. Evan, do you have anything to recommend?
It is a slightly self-serving recommendation, I suppose, because this is one of my projects. But I'm incredibly excited about it. And I am involved in, this is my partner Caroline's project, really, Queer Pride and Prejudice, audio drama. Caro and I adapted from the book, we adapted the book into a script, and we've just finished crowdfunding. It's already been cast. There's already a trailer out. There will be more of it soon. It's going to be releasing nowish. I'm helping direct. Nice. I'm playing Mr. Bennett, which is the part of this where it's also mine, and it feels a little self-serving. But mostly, I just feel like people are going to love this. If you like Jane Austen, or even if you aren't sure you like Jane Austen, but it's really funny. The combination of Jane Austen and Carol Minx is hilarious. And how this all happened.
Did you do the version that has zombies in it?
No.
I did read that.
It is actually a really faithful, an incredibly faithful adaptation of the book. So we kind of did an entirely new but really faithful adaptation, except that everyone's genders are different.
That's so awesome. I love it.
And that all happened because Carol was saying, Darcy is really just doing lesbian panic all the time. That's really what Darcy is. And everyone was like, no, that's true, though. What if we did that? So it's actually a fairly huge show. There's a ton of people in it.
Unstoppable.
And we've had so much fun both casting it, rehearsing it, starting to record it. And it's at Queer Pride Pod on Twitter. It'll be in Podcatchers pretty soon. In general, though, I just want folks to know this is coming. It's going to be a blast, and it's going to be one of those things that could only be happening in audio drama. There isn't a line of people saying, let's make a television show that's Pride and Prejudice, except some of it's gay. But there are plenty of people in the world who kind of love that idea.
Hell so. Yes.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
This is me.
It's going to be, it's so fun. And I'm talking about my own writing here, but still, it's so fun.
Hell yes.
Yeah, and mostly it's about, I keep mentioning Caro, we do a great deal of creative work together. They and a friend of ours named Cass are the ones who came up with this project. I'm basically assisting, and I want to make sure Caro gets the credit, because I don't know how many people say, beloved work of classical literature? Sure, I'll adapt that to a stage play. That sounds great. What's scary about that?
I think we might actually know you through Caro. Podtails?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we went and volunteered.
A
couple years ago, before Corona.
Oh, at the one in Boston.
Near Boston, yep.
Yeah, I was there.
Okay.
Nice.
So we may have met you too. Then.
I probably met you, or at least waved at you. I didn't have a show yet, but everybody I talked to kept saying, what's your show? And I kept saying, oh, I don't have one. And they kept going, really? And I walked away and started my show 4 days later.
Well, we should have wore our staff shirts. Yeah. I'd be like, what up? Yeah. Would you like a snack? Because I was giving out snacks.
I was the person wandering around looking kind of overawed, and then hiding. I found all the creators I knew and just glued myself to them. Because I was a huge fan at that point, but my own story ideas were just this vague, I don't know if I could do this kind of piece. And then I talked to so many people that day. Hannah from In Between, Deej from Moonbase Theta Out, Kevin and Sophie from Penumbra. So many people who said things like, what do you mean you don't have a show? Are you sure you don't have a show? Eli McElveen looked into my soul and said, I think you have stories to tell. And then I did.
Cool. Hell yes. Well, I think I'm going to change my recommendation to our friends that were there, too. Oz9. That's my recommendation.
Amazing show and amazing people.
Love Oz9 so much. Yeah. we were at dinner with them that night. It was amazing. But yeah, my recommendation, go listen to Oz9. Start from the beginning. It's like Hitchhiker's Guide. But yep.
Crossed with The Office in space.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's with absurdist comedy sci-fi. It's you could write a thesis on their approach to comedy as a genre. Like they're brilliant. I absolutely love that show.
Yep. Still, my favorite part of that entire show is the alarm.
Yes, alarm. 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 That was supposed to be placeholder audio. And then they liked it. So I have heard, anyway. Yeah. But yeah, I second that. It's
Oz9 genuinely. We love the entire
cast. All right. Now, Evan, do you want to plug your social media?
Yeah.
Any websites? Or I know you recommended your upcoming project.
Plug whatever you want to plug.
Mm-hmm. Anyone who's into podcasts, please do check out my show, This Planet Needs a Name. It's an ensemble science fiction show that explores things about, well, we like to call it feelings in space. It's very much about people. It's a beloved labor of love for me and a dozen other folks. And I'd also like to invite anybody who just wants to look me up. I've mentioned being Googleable. I'm interested in whatever folks are up to. I love making friends who are also creators. I'm pretty active on Twitter at Evan Tesseract. And my personal website is just evantessmurray.com. So people, I would absolutely love to hear if folks have listened to the things we're saying and listened to me and were like, that dude sounds kind of like we might get along. Please come say hi.
Yeah, you're a great follow on Twitter.
Thanks. I pick a lot of fights.
I'm on a slight little social media break, but I'll go on there to follow you if I'm not already.
No worries.
I like making my feed a little more positive.
For a second there, I thought you were gonna. For a second there, I thought you were gonna bust into "Baby's Got Back" when you said "I like." Like twice in a row. I heard it on the radio yesterday. I was like, is she busting in the song?
No.
That is the best earworm once it's in there.
Insert 7 seconds right here.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung.
Hopefully you're editing this one, Ginger.
Well, thanks again, Evan, for coming on.
Thank you so much for inviting me. This is a blast. I always enjoy chances to get to know folks that I don't know yet who are out here doing whatever creative things. And the first thing I said was, I don't really play games, followed by, yes, I do. What am I talking about?
Any kind of video game. I mean, people are like, I don't play games. Oh, wait, I have all these on my phone.
Yep. Yeah, I used to think of myself as a gamer. I don't think of myself that way anymore, but I do still play games. So I'm really glad that you asked and told me that's okay. Just bring whatever you have.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed the chance to get to know both of you.
Yeah. I really like getting people who I like their podcast, if they say they're not into games, I like trying to get them to come on. Like, come on, you play something. Dustin from Sandman Stories, he came on to talk about a Euchre solitaire game that he plays on his phone. Yeah. I mean, you play something, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Yeah,
it's a video game.
I didn't actually know you liked my podcast until you introduced me. And I was like, oh, is that how we know each other?
Yeah. Nice.
How delightful.
Well, right. We'd like to thank our patrons. Mm-hmm. We have patrons, and we're grateful for them. Mike Gagné, Boston Harbor Horror.
Dan from Woo-hoo! The Movie Salad.
Hi, Mike.
Thanks.
Chris Copleen from the Retro Hangover
Podcast. And JD Lowe. Lowe from JD, what is it, Dot Ninja?
Yep.
Something like that.
And Greg from CartArt.Games.
Uh-huh.
And we'd like to thank
Rappy McRapperson.
Rapperson for our intro music and Inadequacy for our outro music. Hit yes. that goodbye now, Will.
Goodbye.
Nice.